Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, November 26th, 2024. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is in 2 days. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. And, you know, usually it seems strange because Thanksgiving is Thursday and then Sunday is December 1st. It seems like there's usually a little bit more distance between the beginning of December and Thanksgiving, but wow, I mean, it's just hard to believe that it's all this year. I mean, this year has just been kind of a blink of an eye, and especially this holiday season. It's like it was just, you know, really, it was just Halloween, it seemed like. But I hope you all have a lovely, lovely Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to my brother's house, and we're just going to have a just family dinner, you know, family. I think his kids and my nephew and his wife and their two little kids, and then my niece and her husband. So it'll be a small group, but I'm in charge of potatoes. So I'm going to make sour cream and chive mashed potatoes, which sound good. And I think gravy goes with that. I've asked a couple of people and they say yes. So I don't know. Usually I pick something to make that is really difficult, you know, and it's just so ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. So I picked a simple recipe that I have confidence in and that I can pull off easily. And it's interesting. I had our friends over for dinner this last Saturday night. And this is a couple that were just so helpful, you know, to Shannon and I, and just really, really, really supportive. And so, you know, we've been out to dinner several times. I went to their house, and they live about an hour and a half away, for dinner earlier this year. And so I just wanted to, rather than go out somewhere, I wanted to make dinner. So I really can cook, but I haven't cooked in a long time, and I certainly have not entertained, and that's what I really love to do. Shannon was the main cook, and I was the cleaner and stager and cleaner-upper, mainly. So he loved to cook, and he was really good at it. And so, you know, path of least resistance. He didn't like to clean, and I get great joy out of that, as you know. And then just setting a lovely table and a nice ambiance. That's me. That's my creativity. Because really, for me personally, I eat a salad every night. I mean, I really honestly don't cook. I'll cook eggs for myself for breakfast sometimes. But that's really the extent of it. It really, truly is. And I'm happy with that. It's not like I wish I would cook something. I don't. It works with my schedule. I'll work till, you know, eight or so at night. And then the last thing I would do is like actually cook dinner for myself. So anyway, it was really fun to do it. But thank God that both of them are just excellent cooks. And they came in and they said, what can we help with? And I picked a recipe that is for Greek potatoes. And it's really, really, they're excellent. They're so good. But the cooking time on the recipe is probably a third of the time that it actually takes those potatoes to bake in Colorado, so at a higher altitude. I mean, they just took forever. But luckily, you know, as I said, they're both cooks. They're better. Like I'm a cook that follows a recipe to the letter. So, you know, when it says add something 10 minutes into cooking, add something else 15 minutes into cooking. Sharon said to me, she goes, you know, you really should like double or triple each of those times, you know, before you put that in. And so I'll make a note of that because they really are good. And they were kind of worth the wait, except that the chicken was done before they were. And anyway, they're good friends and they helped. And that was so helpful to me. But it was just kind of funny. You know, I thought I was really prepared. And that's the other thing that I do. I get everything prepared, prepped before I start cooking. Like I mix all the spices together for each thing, and you know, everything is prepped. I'm really good at all that stuff, but it's sort of like the intuitive part of cooking. I make killer chicken breasts. I mean, I bake chicken breasts, they come out perfect. Those are great. That I can do. That's simple. But the timing stuff just, well, in this case, justifiably so, freaks me out. I mean, it just freaks me out. So it's like, boy, this just isn't as much fun. So I figured from going forward, Greek potatoes will not be on my menu when I'm entertaining people. But the rest of the meal was really good. And in fact, I made a pumpkin soup from canned pumpkin that was really easy to make and came out just great. So while the potatoes were taking their sweet time baking in the oven, we had soup and bread and talked, and so it ended up just great. But boy, you know, next time, like I said, I'll choose differently. And after a long hiatus from cooking, I should not have jumped into, you know, like a real detailed meal. But it was great. It was great. And I don't even know why I'm really talking about it, but oh, I know, because the potatoes I'm going to make for Thanksgiving are going to be super easy. So that'll be good. That'll be good. And of course, my brother and sister-in-law are doing the heavy lifting there with the turkey and all the other stuff. So it'll be a nice time, and I hope you will have, no matter what you do, I hope you have a lovely, lovely Thanksgiving. And I'm also really getting excited about Christmas because I'll be in Springfield with my grandchildren for the first Christmas I've ever spent with them. You know, they've always been there. We always did our Christmas thing at Thanksgiving, with all the cousins so that we could watch all the little kids open their presents because my nephew and his wife go to Indiana for Christmas every year. So it was just a good way to have a little Christmas at my house early. And as I said, get to see all the little kids open their presents. And it was always just a good party. It was a really good party because my son and his cousins all just get along really well. Nobody stops talking. Everybody's talking at the same time. It was fun. But I really am, you know, to be with those little kids, you know, a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 3-year-old on Christmas morning. Holy cow. That's just got to be, it's going to be wild, chaotic, crazy fun. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. So that's, and the silly thing about it, or the interesting thing about it is, it's really about 2.5 weeks away that I leave. I leave on the 22nd. That's only a couple of weeks away. Amazing. You know, I'll be back before I know it. I'll be back home before I know it. It'll be January. I'll be back home before I know it. But anyway, thank you for being here today. I'm really happy to be here. And I've got wonderful stuff to share with you today. But I just thank you again for listening. And if you can, please join me in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. And feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment. And I will answer them, pardon me, through the chat room after the show. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm available usually mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. And if you stop by and don't see me, or if I happen to be busy on another call, just schedule a call or put in a call back request. I'm notified immediately and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. We do on 12listen have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week. Typically, that's Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. This week, though, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving with reduced rates. So I'll be available probably morning. And yeah, probably in the morning. And then off to my brother's. And we, you know, we have dinner and then we watch a movie. And so probably won't be back online that day, but we'll be back on Friday and we will have reduced rates on Friday as well, Friday and Sunday as usual. So if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And all you do is leave your email address. That's all that entails. and then you know everything. So my Autumn Abundance 15-minute time-based session is still up and available. It's autumn until December 21st or 22nd, I think, or maybe the 20th, I'm not sure, when the solstice happens, the shortest day of the year. That's a lovely time. I'm really loving this time, you know, this darker time of the year leading up to the solstice. It's just heavenly. We go out in the morning, Grace and I go out in the morning, and lately it's been in the 20s. So like today, I think it was 28, 29 degrees. A few days ago, it was like 23, 26. I put on her little sweater, her little fleece sweater, and I bundle up and we go out and we just have the best time. I mean, we walk for about 30 minutes or so, and we walk at a good clip and cover some ground, but she could just keep going. She's just, you know, the ever ready bunny, and that's her happy place. Has a stick in her mouth and off she goes. But anyway, I really do love this time of year, but it is still autumn. It is still energetically the time of harvest, you know? So, you know, being able to receive our good is key in having our good, our ability to receive it. So that's what that time-based session is about. Work on getting stuff out of the way that impedes our ability to receive. And as always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board. I want to listen. This is the time of the harvest. This is Thanksgiving time. So post what you're grateful for, whether it's in your experience or not. The advisors of 1-2-Listen will add our intentions to yours. You can post anonymously. So why not? It's a way that we can support you. So I encourage you to do it. And right now, I just want to say thanks to Jay for producing the show today and for all that he does for us on 1-2 Radio. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song by David and Steve Gordon called Ibiza Drift. It's from the Nirvana Groove CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it for just a few minutes. It's our kind of our space shifter moving into a teaching segment that I'm really excited about. So enjoy it. You're listening to Empowerment. I'm happy that you're here with me today. I'll be back in just a few minutes. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. Jay said it had him in a trance. Well, and that's what it is. I mean, that's what the whole thing, Nirvana groove, that's what it's all about, you know, just that rhythm and kind of takes you away. But I really like that one because it's just, I don't know, it's kind of light. And, you know, I'm going to teach from John Randolph Price today, a book of his called Empowerment. And it's really interesting because you may know John. My introduction to John Randolph Price was the Abundance Book, the Little Abundance Book, the 40-day plan for abundance. And I have his other books, and I got this book called Empowerment several years ago. And I just remembered what kept coming into my head was something that he'd written in the book about love. And it was very powerful and how to pray for another person. So I kind of went searching. And yesterday I picked up the book and I almost read the whole book again, because the thing about John Randolph Price is he's dynamic, you know, and I think, well, you know, back to the fact of if we want to be inspired, it's up to us inspiration isn't going to come from outside of us. It's not. It's going to come through what we love and our teachers and, you know, what lifts us up. And it's our responsibility, and especially being on the spiritual path, to keep ourselves up, you know, to keep our corks afloat, as Abraham would say, and, you know, and to not entertain negativity. I mean, that's the only way to do it. That really is the only way to do it. And of course, negativity comes easily, right? Easily, because we're in this human incarnation. We're navigating through this psychic sea, which is comprised of everyone's thoughts and emotions, not only those that are here and the group consciousness and the consciousness of countries. And, you know, everything has a consciousness, everything. If you work in an office, that office has a consciousness. You know, if you in a family, there's a consciousness, a family consciousness. I mean, it's a thought atmosphere that is produced by the people in that group or country or city or neighborhood or whatever it is, church, whatever it is. but universal consciousness, as Joel Goldsmith called it, is that psychic sea. And it's not just the thought forms of everyone who's here now, but everyone who's ever been here has contributed to it. And so, you know, if you're on a spiritual path, if you're working, if you want to demonstrate the God self that you are, it really is important to stay out of negativity. I mean, it just is. I don't watch the news. I don't, you know, one of the things that I learned from Stuart Wilde that was one of the most empowering things, next to that which lives me is God. That was the most empowering thing, and that changed my life forever. But the other one is responsibility. No one does anything to us. No one can, without our permission, and without we live our lives through our perceptions, our beliefs, our judgments. And, you know, if we think a thing, if we were taught maybe as a little child that something is bad or negative, and we believe that, then it's going to be bad and negative. You know, if whatever it is, if we think it's bad, if we think we're in danger, if we think we're not safe, guess what? We live what we believe. So that's going to pretty much show itself to you. And then the person goes, yeah, but this happened. So what about it? And I said, it happens because we believe it. It's something that we take as truth that is not truth. Beliefs are not truth. They're just beliefs, and beliefs can be changed. But, you know, focusing on what is good, what is, well, Philippians 4:8, you know, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And it's not Pollyanna, it's survival. It's survival and feeling good, because everything, what we have to give the world is us. What we have to give our families, those closest to us, is us. And again, no, and we can't, I mean, we can, but depending only on that infinite self, that pure, perfect, whole, infinite God mind that meets every demand, that is the truth of our being, and focusing, you know, depending on that, not being attached to other people and other things, you know, not being attached to effects, which is what we see around us. Consciousness is cause. And so focusing on our consciousness, developing our consciousness of our God self, of the infinite being that we are. And if you don't like the word God, okay, universe, Tao, source, anything that makes you feel good, they're all different words for the same thing, which is the Supreme Being, all that is. And all that is all good. So the more we focus there, the more we practice the presence, the more we feel, pardon me, the more we experience our good and we feel good. And then we go out empowered into the world. We're empowered because we're in our little positive cocoon. You know, it's just that's what we're vibrating at. And what we vibrate at, we attract. So that's the thing that that's the basis of why I want to talk about John Randolph Price and share his book Empowerment with you, or parts of it, not the whole thing. The book is actually about manifestation. It's about manifestation. It's called Empowerment. You can do, be, and have all things. And it's a wonderful, expansive book that really lit me up in a good way when I reread it. I mean, it just came back to life again, as have all my other, the truth teachers that I've been revisiting for the past 6 months or so, maybe longer. It's like I've never read them before. And I've read all these books, and I've read them more than once. But God meets us where we are. We're in a different place today than we were yesterday. So wherever we are in our evolution, we have expanded, and we're able to take in more and have it impact us in a greater way, in a different way, because we understand differently. And so this book, Empowerment, embodies the principles that I've been teaching forever on this show, from Joel Goldsmith, Neville, U.S. Anderson, Ernest Holmes, etc. John Randolph Price is another voice teaching truth. Truth is truth. Truth is truth. But he teaches in a very dynamic way, in a different, like in a, I don't know how to explain it. And I can only talk for me and how I receive it, but really uplifting and bright. So I'm going to share some uplifting and powerful things from Empowerment. And I want to start with blessing. Blessing. Blessing and praying for someone else. Again, right now, where we are in mass consciousness, the more we can bless and give and pray for others, the better off we are. You know, the better off we are. You know, Jesus said, pray for your enemies, right? And then Joel talks about it forever. You know, it doesn't really do us a lot of good to pray for our families and the people close to us and the people that we love. I mean, yes, we pray for them and that blesses them. But at the same time, you pray for your enemies and they stop being enemies. You know, the truth of every human being is that they are the individualization of source. God in the midst of me is mighty. God in the midst of every person on this planet is mighty. My conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being, idea, and thing. Everyone is the individualization of source. They don't know it. You know, some do, but many don't. But it doesn't change that truth. So when we exalt God in the midst of anyone and exalt God in the midst of us, that brings that truth forward because that is a truth. So, you know, whatever good we do, a blessing or praying or just sending out love to the planet, to every living thing, it's big. You know, it's honorable. It's what Stuart Weil calls being a big person. You know, just being a big person, being kind, going out, looking for the good in everyone, not judging, not just being your big self. And it's so cool when I do that, it's like I'm just having the best day of my life. And it really doesn't matter what happens. And it doesn't matter if you know, people are kind of, I think, surprised. And again, showing love is as small as saying hello and genuinely listening to someone, you know, asking someone how they're doing and genuinely listening to their answer, you know, really being interested, seeing someone, you know, that's validation. Michael Tamura said, when we validate other people, we're validating the God self within them and within us. So it's all an inside job. It's all an inside job. What we give, we get. That's it. And we're sowing seeds of love and blessing and generosity and bigness. And I think it's just a powerful thing to do. So John Randolph Price was talking about blessing. And he was in a meditation. And he said, as he was contemplating blessing, he experienced what he called a flow through, quote unquote, that said, the act of blessing another is to offer yourself as a channel for the activity of spirit. When you bless an individual, a form, or a situation, you become the instrument through which divine energy flows to adjust, heal, and elevate consciousness. Think about that. To bless is to connect the radiation of the self, capital S, the I as in I am, and the object of the blessing in a focused cord of light. Jesus came into this world to bless it, offering himself as a divine channel for supreme being. That is our role too. Even before we reach his level of consciousness, we begin where we are to do our part in reconnecting the third and fourth dimensions, to be a conduit between earth and heaven for the dynamic will of God. He said, and the Bible is full of bless and blessing references, but seldom do we pause to consider that each one of us has this awesome power to bless another and melt away the third dimensional illusion. And third dimension is just physicality. Physicality is what he's talking about. He said, in this context, to bless someone or something is so much more than muttering words of endearment or finding another way of expressing gratitude. In truth, it is taking an action in consciousness with words to lift the recipient of the blessing back up to the divine standard of harmony. So the next time you utter a blessing, think about what you're doing. Focus the mind to channel the energy. Open your heart to make the connection with the object of the blessing and speak the words to release the power. There's no manipulation involved, no attempt to influence or interfere with free will. So you need not wait until you're asked for assistance to give your blessings. Just bless everyone and everything, including yourself. Take time each day to bless your body, bank account, home, car, family, friends, your work and place of employment, your nation, all nations and their leaders, and all of the kingdoms, mineral, plant, animal, and human. And when you hear someone blessing you, just remember that you are being touched by the light and love of I, the omnipotent Spirit of God, through the person conferring the blessing. Well, that's happy. That's happy. Think about that. Think about that. You know, you can feel it. You know, you bless someone. That blessing is a gift. It's a gift, and you can feel yourself kind of open up as the conduit of that gift. It's powerful stuff. It's just powerful stuff. And then he talks about praying for another person. Now, a lot of the things what I love about John Randolph Price is, and what I started to look for in this book, was a section on love, which I found, and I'm going to share with you. But it's in a whole other, I don't know, context than what I was thinking. But in everything that he says, it's like love underlies all of these principles. That's love. You know, when you bless someone, that's love. That's love. He said, when someone asks for assistance and simply says to you, I need your prayers, a connection in consciousness will have been made. And the one seeking help receives the healing without effort on your part. Remember, it's the master within who heals. Until we have the realization experience that which lives us is God, until we have the realization experience, however, we work from where we are, regardless how faint our awareness of the God presence may be. Just know that even if a flicker of the healing light gets through a crack in our opaqueness, a positive benefit will occur. And the more transparent we are, the greater the results. Sometimes the effects are immediate. At other times, the harmonizing of the situation is gradual. But in retrospect, it is seen as the logical working out of a problem, according to cosmic law. Here's one example of a highly effective method that may be used if someone asks for prayers. Go into a meditative state to realize as clearly as possible the reality and perfection of your own inner self. Contemplate with relaxed intensity the attributes of the infinite I, the God self that you are. Ponder the incredible love, the infinite wisdom, the perfect life, the radiant light, the dynamic will, the awesome power, the absolute truth. As the feeling of the presence begins to expand in your consciousness, pour all the love of your being into that presence. Let love fill you and wash over you and spill out before you until love is the dominant vibration of your entire consciousness. At that point, gently bring the individual who's asked for your prayers into your awareness. See the individual clearly, or if you do not know the individual personally, simply see his name or her name in a circle of light. Now begin to flood that person or name with your love. See the love flowing from you in streams of radiant energy, literally saturating and enveloping the person or circle. Keep radiating the love and watching the scene in your mind until the object is seen only as a brilliant energy field of love and light. Now slowly withdraw your attention as if moving away from the object and consciously release the person to spirit. The more you practice this technique, the more proficient you will become. Another method that's produced seeming miracles is almost like the above process in reverse. You begin with the person's name or face or form etched firmly in your mind and lovingly contemplate the individual. After a moment or two, begin to meditate on your truth of being, your holy self, and keep at it until the person or name completely disappears from consciousness and your entire focus is on the presence within. Even if you can only, quote unquote, forget the individual for a few seconds while your mind is totally on God, the results will be amazing. The reason? The individual moved out of your human consciousness into the pure essence of spirit, where no disease or lack exists. As Joel says, when you pray for someone else, you basically, he said, I don't care what their name is. I don't care what the problem is. I drop it. He says, the first thing you do is you release it. You release the problem, you release the person, and you go within and practice the presence until you feel a click or a shift in your consciousness. And that click or shift is done. You're done. You've done your part. You've done the healing. The healing is in effect. And I think a good thing to remember about healing is we do our part. I love the price, you know, the light and watching them be absorbed in the light and then letting them just, and then just detaching. Letting that go, taking your hands off, releasing it to the wisdom, the love, the perfection of the universe. I love that. That's really beautiful. But the thing to remember when we pray for someone else is we do our part and we know when we have done our part, and that is all we're called to do. We can't have a healing for anyone else. That's up to them. That's up to them to be able to accept it, to have it. But we do our part, and that healing is done. It's done. Further in this chapter on whatever it is, praying for others. Sorry. He wrote, we all came back into physical form to awaken to our true identity and move above the woes and sorrows of the third dimension. And we must not let anything stand in the way of fulfilling that mission and purpose. At the same time, we must never forget another reason that we're here on planet Earth. We're here to be of service to humanity and to do all that we can to assist our brothers and sisters to awaken from the dream state. And if that requires a healing in mind, body, pocketbook, or relationships, let's do it with love and joy and with gratitude for the opportunity to serve. I love it. I love it. I mean, my head's like going to explode. So now I'm going to move into a different place. And this is where, when I was looking for his teaching on love, this is where I found it. But it is one of 10 steps. And these are called the 10 steps to the fulfillment of your desires. And this show will be in the archives, but I'm just going to go through them step by step. And this is powerful. So step one is the principle of attunement. This step is based on opening your heart and mind to your spiritual nature. It is tuning into that presence and power of God within you and recognizing that the mind and power of the infinite is right where you are, individualized as you. Going back to basics for a moment, I believe that you'll agree that the Spirit of God is everywhere present, all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful. Now, the beautiful and fascinating thing to me is that this eternal selfhood began to individualize itself as me, as you, even before we came forth as distinct units of consciousness. In order for you to be, to exist, infinite mind had to conceive of you. And this focus of you, on you, was the beginning of the individualizing process out of which you came into being. As the universal divine sonship contemplated itself as you, a state of consciousness was expressed or pressed out. An individualized energy field, a force field of consciousness appeared. Now remember what the word consciousness means. It is awareness, understanding, and knowledge. And that original state of consciousness that you had was a super consciousness, which means a super awareness, a super understanding, and a super knowledge of God. When you are super aware of something, when you have super understanding of something, that something literally becomes your consciousness. The thinker and the thought become one. So in truth, the reality of you is God knowing itself as God. God knowing itself as you. And you knowing yourself as God. This trinity of knowingness becomes one in consciousness. The master consciousness of the master self within you. Which means that each one of us is living, moving, walking, talking, rainbow energy fields of God. And within that energy field is everything that we could possibly desire, not only for this life, but for all eternity. We have the kingdom now. Whew. Now think of that master self, the reality of you, around you and through you, occupying the same space that you do. To get the full impact of this awareness, you have to feel it. So think on this idea for a moment. There is a super consciousness of God within me now. It is the master self that I am in truth, the master consciousness that I am. It is closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. I look within and sense this all-knowing mind, and I feel the presence of love in my heart. He says, do you see what you're doing? You're becoming more aware of your true nature, the super self within you. You are fanning the divine spark of spiritual awareness deep within your soul into a living flame of truth. Understand that the more you are consciously aware of your God self, the more that self fills your consciousness. And the greater your consciousness of this higher self, the greater your understanding of it will be. And the greater your understanding, the greater your knowledge, and knowledge is power. In the process of the expanding consciousness, you literally take on the attributes of your super consciousness. And that's what it means to put on Christ. You literally become that which you are conscious of. That's attunement, principle number one. Step two, the principle of choice. I wrote The Super Beings, which is another book of his, that you should focus your thoughts on what you really want in life. In other words, before you reach the level of consciousness where the choices of self are automatically outpictured, you must assume the authority to choose things, circumstances, situations, or experiences that you deeply desire. Knowing that desire is the first step in the action cycle. Without desire, nothing happens. Without desire, the universe and planet Earth would not have been created. Without desire, you would not exist. Where do desires come from? Unselfish, good for all, desires come forth from an activity of your higher self, stirring you to realize that it wants to do more for you through you. When your aspiration is for something good that cannot hurt you or anyone else and will bring good into your life and the lives of others, it is your spiritual self tugging at your heart's door, trying to get your attention. As Emmett Fox has said, get the thought of what you want as clear as you can. If you say, I want something and don't know what, I'll leave it to God. If you say, I want a business, it may be a farm or a shop, I'll leave it to the divine mind, you're foolish. What are you here for? You must have some desires and wishes because you represent God here. I love Emmett Fox. By choosing what you really want and knowing that you have the power to bring it into manifestation, and then by doing so, you're cooperating with self in revealing the ever-present reality. Once you begin to exercise dominion by choosing, the spirit within you will speak to you through your intuition, guiding you to choose even greater experiences or showing you something better from the vantage point of the higher vision. But you must make the first move. You must make the choice and then follow the manifestation process all the way through. Many people also get confused about the choosing process, thinking that if God has already given them everything, if they're already complete and whole, why do they have to choose? The answer is that all the good that God has for us already has been given to the reality within, our higher self. In truth, we do have everything right now, but we have to claim it. In essence, we are choosing the spiritual equivalent for that which we desire in physical form. And when we choose it, the spiritual equivalent moves into the manifestation chamber where it becomes the mental equivalent of the physical form or experiences. Everything is stepped down from spiritual plane to the mental plane and then proceeds out into the physical world to appear in material form. Step number three, the principle of acceptance. Simply stated, this step means that you cannot have the fulfillment of your desires without acceptance. When you choose something, the spiritual equivalent will move into the subjective area of mind. But unless you accept it right then, it will leave and return to the higher realms of consciousness. A spiritual equivalent doesn't stay where it's not welcome and accepted. From the writings of Ernest Holmes, we see that spirit cannot make the gift unless you accept it. Life may have given you everything to you, but only that which you accept is yours to use. So you accept the increased income, the new job, the new car, the new home, the new relationship. Once you choose what you want, you accept the thing or experience mentally and with the fullness of your feeling nature. Step four, the principle of have. When you accept something, you have it, capital H-A-V-E. Even if what you accept is still in invisible form, if you have a need and spirit gives you the fulfillment of that need and you accept, your consciousness will begin to shift from a sense of need to a sense of have. The fulfillment is yours even before you see it in visible form or experience. And when you have something as part of your consciousness, you can, I am it, with affirmative statements and thoughts. For example, if you choose to accept an all-sufficiency of supply, the pattern of that divine idea is established in mind. Therefore, in truth, you have the abundant supply, and you make it a reality in consciousness by personalizing it. Sorry. I am the lavish abundance of the universe individualized. All that the Father has is mine, and my prosperity is assured. I am now filled and thrilled with the consciousness of abundance and plenty. As Joel Goldsmith has written, by acknowledging that we have, we shall demonstrate have. That's why this step is so important in moving us away from the sense of need, because a consciousness of need simply produces more need. Affirming out of a consciousness of need is like pouring water in a bucket that has a hole in the bottom. And that's the other part. These things are so powerful, and I don't think I'm going to get through all of them, so I'll finish this next week. But it's a step-by-step method. You know, I have this. I don't want it. I don't hope for it. I have it. I own it. And when you can have something, you feel it in your being, in your body. He goes on and talks about visualization and the rest of the steps. We got through four, but I'm going to complete this next week because all of these things we probably know. If you've been on the spiritual path for any length of time, we know these things. But using them in this concise order, and I'll review the first four next week before I get into the last five, excuse me. Having them in that order, but first of all, knowing who you are, that attunement, knowing who you are, that's it. Once you have that attunement, then, you know, it's easy to choose. It's easy to accept. It's easy to have because you know who you are. And you know that the infinite storehouse, all that God is you. All that God has is yours. And then it's going from, you know, I remember a long time ago, you know, reading these books and having them kind of like, it's like a visualization or an image of having these things out here. Like say they're in like a sphere or something just sitting outside my head. You know, okay, I know this. This is what I'm supposed to do. These are the steps. These are the principles. This is what I take. And we don't know. We don't have that awareness of oneness. Even if we read that, you know, which I've read it, you know, years ago. That is something that we only get through practice, through connecting to source, connecting to God, practicing the presence, letting it take over, feeling it. And it's just revisiting, 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 revisiting. It takes practice. It's truly practicing the presence. But coming from that as a foundation of your being, knowing that, these things are like, oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, and also knowing our entitlement to it. And I'm gonna end here with a quote from Ernest Holmes from his book, This Thing Called Life, and Life is God. He wrote, "You exist that this power may have another, a unique outlet for its expression. The more life you express, the more of it flows through you. Therefore, every legitimate desire you have is the pushing of this power through you into its own self-expression. In this way, you are in partnership with the infinite." And that just expands everything even further. Even further. You know, desiring, wanting to have more, do more, be more is not for us alone. It's our responsibility, right? As the inlet and outlet of supply, as the clear instrument of the Father is appearing. It's our responsibility to be that clear instrument through which it flows. Anyway, thank you for being with me today. I will continue with principles 5 through 10 next Tuesday. So tune in or catch it in the archives. I hope you have a very, very blessed week. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver, followed by Christina LaFrance. Again, have a very blessed week and a very lovely Thanksgiving.